In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for today, which I've already read. Please be seated. One of the complaints I would often lodge against my parents when I was a kid was that things were not fair. It was not fair that I didn't get to spend the weekend with my friends. It was not fair that I had to do chores over summer vacation when everybody else was just doing whatever they wanted. It was not fair that I was punished for fighting with my brother. After all, he was the one that started it. He looked at me funny. I'm reminded of the words that so often came from the lips of my parents and have so often flowed from my own parents as my mother and father have come out of my mouth. Life is not fair. The issue of fairness is front and center in our gospel reading for today. The complaint of the workers hired first, who worked the full day, the full 12 hours, resonates with us on some level. After negotiating their pay with the vineyard owner, they went to work in the vineyard during the long and hot hours of the day. Having worked the longest, the physical toll would have been greater than those hired later in the day, especially those lazy bums who only worked 1 hour. And yet, at the end of the day, the master of the vineyard pays those who worked for 12 hours the same as those who worked for only 1 hour. If that's not the textbook definition of unfair, I don't know what is. In an age where some are very concerned about equal pay for equal work, our Lord shows an example of equal pay for unequal work. To make matters even more unfair, our Lord ends his parable with a phrase that might prove to be enigmatic without a clear understanding of what he's trying to get across in the parable. He says, "So the last will be first, and the first last." If we bounce this off of what St. Paul said in the epistle about an athlete competing for a prize and how only one gets it, would this be like the Chiefs having to hand over the Lombardi trophy to the 3 and 14? Yeah, they were the 3 and 14 Bengals. The last will be first. What makes this even more interesting is that this is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus tells parables like this, his intent is to illustrate for us some aspect of his kingdom that is difficult for us fallen men to understand. In other words, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven does not operate in ways that we sinners would deem to be fair. And this smacks against our very identity as members of a society that rewards people based on their hard work and merit, rather than looking at social rank and bloodlines. Our society is what we call a meritocracy. That is, it rewards those who have worked hard, merit, or studied hard to earn a job or some income or something like that. We reward and we look with favor upon those who do their best. Our country was built on this sort of system, which makes us naturally suspicious of nepotism, which is kind of the opposite, which rewards people based purely on who they are and who they know. And this kind of attitude, which clings so tightly to the children of the founding fathers, is on full display in the workers who were hired first. They want to be rewarded for their work. They want to be paid for what they did. But if the kingdom of heaven were truly a meritocracy, this would be a terrifying ordeal. When the master of the Lord confronts those who complain about the unfair wages, he throws them out with a harsh rebuke. "Take what belongs to you and go," he says. Just as Adam was sent out of the Lord's garden into Eden, so also were these men sent away. The scriptures tell us that by works of the law, no man will be justified in God's sight. That means that nothing we have earned from God in His eternal, nothing that we've earned from God is nothing other than His eternal wrath and displeasure. St. Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. What we have earned is death. If we want the kingdom of heaven to be fair, that is what we're asking for. If we want to be rewarded for our work, the wage is death and hell, not just now, but forever. But thanks be to God that heaven is not fair. In fact, it is a good thing that heaven is the most unfair place in all of existence. The wages of sin may be death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. That faith, St. Paul says, isn't even your own doing. It is also the free gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you do not want a God or a heaven that is fair. You want a God who will operate among you with grace. And this, people loved by God, is precisely the kind of God that we have presented to us in the sacred scriptures. We have a God who does not punish us temporally and eternally like we deserve. Instead, we have a God who takes on our flesh and our sin. Jesus Christ, who is himself this God, takes on even the punishment that we deserve in his death on the cross. The one who should be made first is made last as he bears the full heat of the day, or rather, bears the full wrath of God. That beloved Son of God was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. All this, that you would not have the wrath of God and the condemnation of God poured out upon you, that wrath and condemnation that we have earned by our many sins, it was poured out on him that we might receive grace upon grace in the blood of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not given to those who are good or hardworking. God gives his kingdom to poor, miserable sinners who know what they deserve, his temporal and his eternal punishment. This is how our God operates among us. No, this is not fair as men count fairness, but his ways are not ours. For God works among sinners by grace. Though our works and conduct have no worth in God's sight, we are made holy and righteous by the work of Christ. This is our firm foundation. For though we know that we are fallen and our hearts are black with sin, we also hear our Savior's voice that calls us into his vineyard to live under him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as certainly as Christ is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.